Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now today I'm in another area. I'm at my other daughter's house, so the background will look very different. And we may even get a little quick visit from my granddaughter if she comes and goes, because she's not quite sure what's going on here. So don't be surprised if we have a little visit today. But we've got something really exciting today and something we haven't talked about before, which I'm really looking forward to getting a deeper understanding for. We're talking about light workers. What is a light worker? Why do we have light workers? How do they get to be called light workers? I want to get a really good understanding of what it is, because I've heard the terminology bantered around quite a lot. And I know that there's a lot of us light workers or a lot of light workers in the world. But I want to get a deeper understanding of it. And I have got the perfect guest to help us with that. So I'm going to bring Roxanne onto the stream. Come in. Roxanne, how are you?
Hi, Susan. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm looking forward to hearing this because I have heard a lot about light workers. I do understand the terminology, but I would really like the listeners to get a better understanding of it. There's so many terminologies we use in the spiritual realm when we're talking about spirituality and that sort of thing, and it can get quite confusing. But before we jump into that, I just want to get an understanding about you. How did you get from point A to point B, Roxanne?
Absolutely. Ever since I was a little girl, I just had this profound knowingness that I was being called to serve, and I really couldn't explain it. It was just like this deep knowingness. And it was like this burning feeling inside of me telling me that I was going to impact humanity at a very great level. And again, I just didn't foresee what that was going to entail. In my entire life, I was guiding people. I was able to tell people stories just by looking at their soul and being in connection with them. I would be able to see beyond the words that they were sharing with me. And I never thought I was different. I thought everybody had these capabilities and that everybody did this. However, it was, you know, family and friends. My mom would always be like, you know, you should really be a psychologist or a social worker. You're really good at like therapy and like counseling. Everyone comes to you for guidance. And that just really never spoke true to me. And I remember being a five-year-old child and adults would come to me and they would seek my guidance and my wisdom. And they would always refer to me as like an old soul or a wise soul. And I just never understood what that was. And as I went throughout my journey, through my friends and family, I really tried to connect with others in that feeling. Like, did they have the same burning desire, the same feeling? And what would always come back was like, you know, like a career facet. I know I want to be like a lawyer or a doctor. But I was like, it's something different than that. It was something, it was like this knowingness that I was being called to serve. So I didn't push it down, but I just kind of forgot about it and was just trying to, you know, go through life and go through the motions of life, doing everything that everybody else told me that I should do or what I felt that I should do in order to really, you know, serve our community. And I ended up feeling really unfulfilled. I was in a very unhealthy marriage at the time. And I ended up leaving with my three beautiful children. And shortly after that, I had experienced four near-death experiences simultaneously within a span of 2 years. And with each near-death experience really brought me closer to my sacred purpose, to my calling.
Whoa. Okay. So I'm really resonating with you there because, again, I've experienced a near-death experience too. So I understand that. And it's not so much the experience. It's the learning that you get from it. You know, it's like, that's when I went, oh, we've got these two bodies. You know, we've got a physical and a spiritual side. So that was my learning on it. But I love how you said you have this deep knowing that you were there to serve, or that deep knowing. Because I remember as a child too thinking, I just want to help people, because that's the terminology that I used. It was like, I didn't understand anything else. It was like, I just want to help people, you know. But people try to put you into boxes, and you've experienced the same. They've tried to put you into particular boxes that it doesn't resonate right. And because, well, I guess there's not really a lot of jobs out there for light workers in that terminology. But before we go any further, because, yeah, light works don't slot into accountant or, you know, a nurse or in their terminology. But what I want to get an understanding of, Roxanne, is so you've gone from there and you've followed your way through. What did you do to before you came a light worker? What was the experiences? What were you feeling? What were you going through before you got to that aha moment where you said, okay, I'm a light worker, and then we're going to talk about light workers. So I want to know what you were experiencing first.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was a little girl, it was like this interconnection that I had to the creator and to the angelic lineages. I always was receiving channeled information. I was always feeling connected. And, you know, bringing this into my life, it was like, it was a very reassuring thing, a very beautiful thing. I always felt an abundance of unconditional love. And I think that's why I was able to just have and exude optimism throughout everything that I had went through. And I had went through countless trials and tribulations, now knowing that these were beautiful lessons and teachings. And as I was going through this journey of really discovering myself, of really coming from this place of deconstruction and really building myself my own foundational pieces and what my true belief systems were, my core belief systems were, it was tumultuous, because there are so many wounds, there are so many belief systems that are tied to why we do the things that we do on a daily basis. So there was a lot of emotionality. There was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of frustration. And then there was a lot of joy, a lot of curiosity, and a lot of excitement. So it was just like a myriad of beautiful emotions that I was allowing myself to flow through them and feel them, where beforehand I would have suppressed them and I would have, you know, allowed that emotion to become something different, that sadness to become anger or frustration or resentment, where I was actually allowing myself to be in a state of being in my emotions and, you know, acknowledging them and having that awareness over them.
Wow. Okay. I just want to, one of the things that you said is that feeling of connectedness. What on earth is that? Because everyone will feel that again differently, but again, this is the terminology that we use because we're used to being around that. So I know what connectedness means. I even know what it feels like. But how can we explain that to the listeners? What does connectedness mean?
It's like the feeling is the knowingness. It's like when you meet the right person that you're going to spend this lifetime with, it's like this undeniable knowingness that goes throughout the entirety of your being. And your logical senses, your intellectual body can't fathom it and can't fully explain it. It's just a complete knowingness. And the unconditional love components, like, you know how you're loved by your parents, even though, you know, they're also going throughout their own journey, you still know at the end of the day that they love you unconditionally. It was like I was wrapped up in this unconditional love bubble, and I always felt like I was shielded, like I was protected in some incredible way. And I can never really explain that, but it was like I was always, you know, a step ahead of something bad happening, or I was always being proactive in some way, that I was being connected to information, that it was time to close that chapter, to open a new door to a new opportunity. And then as soon as I would do that, there would be a dismantling of that old structure or of where I previously was, a relationship or even like a career facet. So it's like I was always being supported. I was always being guided, and I felt that, and I leaned into that. I didn't fully understand what that was. I thought it was just myself, but I, you know, came to really understand that it was something far beyond that.
Yeah. Sorry, that's that little puppy dog barking in the background. Now, as you're saying this about the connectedness, I want to give an example. And I'll give one of my examples because I can relate to that, and it might relate for other people. When I decided at the age of 48 to go back to university, to study university. And I remember telling my girlfriend about it. And she sort of said to me, well, how are you going to do that? And I had thought about it. Like I'd thought about I want to do it, but I hadn't thought about the details of it. And I remember just having this, you do feel connected because I got this information that came to me and it just sort of went, well, I just said it without even thinking. It just came out like, well, I don't have to live here. I can actually move and go to university. Nothing's holding me here. Now, when I say that that's that connectedness, it's because I didn't think to do that. It wasn't a conscious thought. It was just this information that came through. And then she said, well, you know, you could move, but how do you know you're going to get into university? And again, this conscious sort of this thought came through and it was like, well, how do you know I'm not to start with? But the other aspect is if I don't get in on that course, I will get in on another course. They're not going to stop me. No one can stop me from doing what I want. And it's really when you're feeling connected, when you feel like you're in the right space and doing the right thing, these things will just come to you out of the blue. And I do remember thinking, wow, where did that come from? Because I knew I didn't think it. So that's part of, and I just wanted to give that explanation because that's how I really understood connectedness. It's like I was open enough to be getting this information and to express it. So it was really, really perfect. So I see where you're coming from. And when you're a child, even a teenager and growing up and getting to know yourself a little bit better, you do start to get those aha moments where you start to think, well, I don't know where that came from, but I'm happy to share it.
The channeled information. And I believe that we're always, you know, from being a shaman and traveling the different realms of understanding the matrices and understanding the dimensionalities and the densities is to understand that we are always connected to a source of infinite intelligence and of unconditional love. So that is the essence of who we are and the entity of who we are when we speak about us being energetic beings, right? That is the biggest disposition of who we are. So that connectedness is not always explainable in the intellectual and the mental body. It's a knowingness that happens throughout the entirety of who you are. And those that still haven't embarked on that journey or have been of that place of connection, it's like, you know, when you're a child and you're trying to understand what love is and how do you know when you find the right person and everyone's like, you just know, you just know, you just know. It's because it's indescribable. It's not something that you can give definitions to or give structure to. It's just a profound knowingness that happens throughout your being.
Yes, absolutely. And so well said. Thank you. Now, so let's get stuck into the light worker side of it. So you've gone through all this, you've gone through this understanding and you've got that connectedness. You've got this little, you start to get this little aha moment where you think, hang on, not everybody actually does what I'm doing. Not everybody actually feels that way. And you start to get that understanding of it. Why did you call yourself a light worker? Why do you refer to that? What actually is it? And how are you related to that sort of side to it? I want the nitty gritties now.
Right. So light workers, when we think about definitions and labels, this is what we're trying not to be tied to. But when we fall under an umbrella is to understand that light workers aren't just one type of person. A light worker is here to serve humanity and however that may be. And sometimes it's in healthcare. Sometimes we are doing, you know, psychological services. Sometimes we're doing energy work. It's where we are in positions where we're serving humanity and we're helping foster beautiful health within humanity. That is what a light worker is here to do. And when we think about light working, it's just something that you're innately born with and you don't really understand what your purpose is until you understand that really your soul's mission and your sacred purpose is here and the capacity of being able to serve. And I kind of knew something, you know, that I was really connected to the angelic lineages. I knew that I was connected to a very specific type of light and a very specific archangel. And for me, it was just about trusting that and knowing in that. And as I chose my career path, I was always serving and guiding others, even though that may not have been my role. So it was really just a beautiful thing. And when I had my near-death experiences, it was like, you know, I've been doing this for the entirety of my life. Like, why am I not trying to reach others throughout the world? Why am I just, you know, working alongside people that are coming across my physical path? Like, it's time to be able to expand where I'm actually, you know, thinking in my intellectual body that I am limitless. I don't need to limit myself to just those that I'm physically coming across. So it was like this beautiful expansion. And through many visions, through many dreams, through many journeys, again, being a shaman, I have been told and directed, you know, that I call it luminary. And what it is it's lightworking capabilities. Everyone has a different spectrum. And what I was being shown by like the light angels was that it was like a spectrum of light. If you think about like a spectrum of light, and for me, this is what my part of my sacred purpose is that if you envision like a spectrum of light from dark all the way to like the brightest light that there is on a scale, I can see people's colors and their light that they have within them. So if they're very dim, if they're very bright, and my job and my sacred purpose is to be able to bring that light into a healthy place so that they're not burning out on either end. So either you're shining too bright, where you're putting yourself out there too much, where you're coming to a place of exhaustion and you're coming out to a place of a burnout. And then on the other side of the spectrum that they're in the darkness is to bring them back into the light, bring them back into their knowingness, into their divination. So that is what I do, but not every light worker is the same. We're all different. We're all unique. We all have our own capabilities and gifts and internal medicines that we have within us. And it just depends on the light worker themselves.
So really the light worker is like you say, it's an umbrella, isn't it? It's not even like clairvoyant. Well, you said something in there, which was really, I really liked. It really resonated with me. And that was, connected to a different light, connected to a different light, I think you said.
But yeah, like I've always known, like the way that I speak like light language, like we talk about universal light languages, a lot of them get them in the context of an actual language. For me, it comes in the form of light coding, structures, symbolisms, and things of that nature. So the way that I was getting my information for the entirety of my life, not understanding what that was, obviously, until I was older, I was always getting these information pieces of being connected to that divine source. And I know that I have a very special connection with Archangel Michael. Like I know I'm part of that lineage. So I'd always get information and their direct light connection to me into my heart space. So it was always something that was very prevalent for me. I just didn't understand that that was different. That's not something I was able to ever explain to anyone because I didn't know that it was something different, you know?
Yeah. And that is part of the challenge, isn't it? So you're saying that basically with light workers, we're here to light up, here to heal, here to help. So anyone can be a light worker. It's not a label that you have to take on board. It's part of an overall thing.
Yeah, for me, it's part of a sacred purpose, right? It's part of what you set out and what you were designed to do on this planetary system in this timeline. So it's a soul contract, essentially, right? It's something that was instilled in you that only you had that one gift and ability to bring to the earth plane in this now timeline. So when we understand that is that not one person will have the same sacred purpose. It is impossible. Everyone has their own purpose. Not everyone's purpose is here to bring light to the world. We need to have that polarity, that duality, right? So we see that in the contextualization of the world in this now moment, right? There's always that polarity, that duality. So not everyone is meant to be a light worker because that's not part of their sacred purpose, but some of them are here to share their art in the form of however that may be for them as their outlet in order to heal others. You know, like it can really range. It just depends on what their sacred purpose is.
Yeah, so it can be very, very widespread. It could be anyone from I'm an author to an artist to a healer to even like you say, even those negative polarities, they're still bringing light, but it's dark. It's a dark light. It's the ability to be able to see the opposite.
Right. And you can't have light without dark, right? You can't have dark without light. You need the yin and the yang. You need the feminine and the masculine, right? We need the polarity. We need to be able to have that beautiful structure of flow of knowing that, you know, the light shapes the dark and the dark shapes the light. And without going through the trials and tribulations that we've went through in our lifetime, we would never have the teachings, the learnings, the understandings that we have unless we went through those things, because we wouldn't be growing and evolving. We would be staying stagnant within one emotional structure of our being, which is physically impossible. We are here to express all of our emotionality, all of our emotions. So for us, it's each part is just as important as the other, right? We need to have that duality. We need to have that polarity. And when we think about the laws of nature and the guiding principles, is that we need to have the law of polarity, the law of gender, the law of duality. Like, these are important structures in order for us to have a very healthy planet and a healthy, you know, dynamic in humanity.
Wow, I love how you put that. That's really cool. And too often people think of the negatives as like, you know, like the world's coming apart and, you know, there's so many problems. But this is where people like yourself, the light workers and the healers and the different modalities can come in and support when you are experiencing those negative areas. You know, it's not you, they're not going to stop you experiencing them. They're going to help you get through them. And that's the beauty of it. But I like that you've actually mentioned, the angels. And obviously that's your, I call them tools. We all have our own tools. And that's sort of where I look at it and I go, okay, the tool that you use to help with your light working, to help others, is you refer to the angels or do you prefer to call them light workers?
Yeah, I really call them what they have, you know, preferenced and referenced themselves as in journey. And really it's angels, right? It's archangels and it's angels. So for me, it is what it is. And I don't, you know, get stuck in those labels. And it's not just the angelic lineages. And being a shaman, we're connecting with the ascended masters. We're connecting with the creator. We're connecting with all sorts of divine intelligence and of unconditional love, the councils. So to understand that everybody has their wisdom and it's not just body, you know, like every soul essence has their wisdom. And it's about opening ourselves up to that connectivity in order to receive the wisdom that they are trying to disseminate. So for me, it always came in the form of the archangels. And I never really saw angels until I was a little bit older, but it was always the archangels that would come to me. So for me, that was like that connection to them. And it just felt very beautiful. And a lot of the times also I get connection from the ancestors of light, my ancestors, other people's ancestors, depending, you know, where I'm being guided. So it's just a beautiful thing. And then we have our highest self and then we have your oversoul. So it's like, we're always being supported and we're always being connected and they're all here to support us in our highest good and really to just living a life of beautiful success.
Okay. Now you mentioned the word shaman. Now, a lot of people can have a negative connotation to shaman. Can you explain what shaman means or just clarify that a little bit for us?
Yes, absolutely. So shaman, so I am a generational earth, generational shaman and a celestial shaman. So shamans were known in the tribal communities and shamanism has been around for over 100,000 years. And these were the doctors, the spirit doctors, the energy doctors, the herbal doctors, the doctors of all tribal communities throughout the world. They all had their own shaman. They were considered the doctor of the tribal community. And they had the practices and they had their own specializations in either energy work, herbal medicines, plant medicines, just depending on the shaman and their specialties. There should be no negative connotations towards shamans in the sense that they're here to help serve. And you're always going to have good and bad in every, you know, in every profession, just like you do in doctors, just like you do in teachers. So we can't categorize, you know, one shaman with all of the other shamans. So shamans, their sacred purpose, a true shaman's sacred purpose is here to help serve and to help guide you to heal every aspect of your life. So for me, that is like the most beautiful honor is being, you know, a shaman and being called by my lineage to step into shamanism, because it is just such a powerful thing. And when we see when we're working with our clients and our patients is just such beautiful transformations that happen and realizations. And it's just such a beautiful aspect to witness in their journey.
Yes, I agree. And I think the early TV and things like that with the drama and everything else put those negative connotations, a bit like witches, you know, put those negative connotations on all that sort of aspect to it. And so, I just wanted to clarify that because I know quite a lot of shamans. I know heaps of them. And yeah. I think, it's just a terminology that they want to use because they're still doing the same. They're using different tools to achieve the same purpose. And that's where I see when I'm doing a lot of these interviews, I can see the people that are coming on, they're just using different tools. And those tools will resonate with one person more so than they will resonate with another. And that's what the beauty is of it. The beauty of all these modalities is that we have the opportunity to pick and choose what we want. We don't have to go with whatever.
And that's the beautiful thing is that we do have these different modalities. And, you know, I love when I hear someone, they're like, oh, I'm going to change the world. I'm like, not one person can change the world. Not one person can help shift, you know, the expectation of the world. We have to work in co-creation and co-collaboration. What I say, you know, what I speak, the way that I build my content may not resonate with Susan, may not resonate with Julie, you know, but somebody else's way of producing their content in the way that they speak and the words that they use may have that impact. So it's about knowing that in your soul design, in your sacred purpose, you have people that are specific to you that will be attracted to you by design. Right. So it's not about fostering this growth all by yourself. One, nobody can have the energetic disposition to handle that. And two, we are here to help serve one another, to help one another. We're here, you know, to be in hand in hand and serving hand in hand, not one against the other or just one doing it all.
Yes. And I think this, because of going through business and everything else, the business attitude was, you know, they're your competition. If I'm running a plumbing business here, they're all my competition. But the complete difference with working with light workers, with working in the spiritual realms in those areas, is we're not in competition. None of us are in competition. And sometimes I have a little bit of that issue with some of the life coaches and things like that. It's like, I'm the best, come to me. But they're bringing in that old patriotic attitude instead of that matriarch attitude where we all help each other and there's horses for courses. You know, some will need this and some will need that. So I really like how you put that together because it makes us work together. And that's what light workers are. We work together.
Absolutely. And I think that when we come into that place, and this is really speaks volumes of someone's soul and self-mastery journey of how they actually, you know, healed aspects of themselves, because when we're in that frame of mind, that is the ego. That is the ego speaking, that we're looking to fulfill the ego. When we actually come in and dive into our soul and self-mastery journey, is the ego experiences over 1,000 different deaths because we understand that we're not the end all be all, right? So we're here for a sacred purpose. And if we can't, you know, offer our services or be in a form of healing or guiding without stepping into our ego, we are then doing a disservice to our clientele, right? Because if we think about it from that aspect, we are literally running ourselves solely in our masculine energy. We're not actually being in our state of flow and of knowingness, of knowing that exactly why we're here and what we are intended to do will actually be the way that it is intended. So when we come from that place where we're coming from the ego, it's like the wounded healer trying to heal other people. It's just not possible, right? You can't guide someone to heal aspects that you've never even healed yourself. You need to be able to go through that journey to understand how you can guide someone better. And if we can't look in the mirror and we can't, you know, dive a little bit deeper and understand why our belief system is that way, why we feel that we need to be the best and we need to be the top, then it comes to a place of what are we not surrendering to? What are we not healing within ourselves?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I think a few of my guests need to listen to this podcast today. Because it is very true. But I also understand that they don't may not quite realize that how they're putting it forward. They feel like they're doing the, like you said, when they first come on this journey, and I know I did the same, it's like, oh, I'm going to fix the world, you know, like, yay, look at me. And it is quite ego-based, but we need to have that as well to give us the ability to go ahead. We need to have the ego engaged so we can move forward with it. So it's not a bad thing. It's just not letting that ego go a little bit overboard.
The ego needs to be engaged, but the ego doesn't need to be the driver. The soul essence needs to be the driver. The heart space needs to be the driver. When we're allowing the ego to become the driver, that means that we haven't surrendered to our ego body. We haven't surrendered to the intellectual body. So when we're coming into that space, is that the ego is a vital part of our human mechanism. That is what keeps us safe. That is what, you know, drives us forward into action. But it's also a place that if we're using it and we're utilizing our brain and our mind connection in the wrong way, then we are literally operating from a place of fear, of scarcity and lack. And when we're pushing and pushing and pushing, we're operating in our masculine energy. And when we're in that strategy of our masculine energy in any type of business, it's never successful because it's never sustainable. So when we come into the duality of our flow, of our energies and understanding our human capacity and understanding that we need to be soul-driven, soul-led, right? Not ego-driven and ego-led.
Wow. That's so cool. All right. Now, I want to get a bit of an understanding. So we've talked about light workers. We've got an understanding that they can work in different areas. If somebody has that yearning, like we did when we were younger, somebody sort of got that feeling, I just want to help, but I don't know what to do. I just feel like, I don't know, I need to step forward. What advice would you give them as far as moving into their light, moving into their light and becoming authentic that way?
The first thing to any part of our journey is acknowledgement and having that awareness. So if we have that awareness that feeling is there, that calling is there, and that we're feeling like we need to serve others or that we're not fulfilled in this now moment, it's about being honest with ourselves, honest conversations, honest dialect that has to happen. In, you know, when we dive into curiosity, why do I feel this way? You know, why am I doing the exact things that I'm doing right now that really aren't fulfilling me? It's about allowing ourselves to dive into ourselves with curiosity and following that knowingness. Our intuition and our guiding voice is always guiding us. It's our ego that gets in the way of it, right? So our intellectual body doesn't like fear, doesn't like change. So it's going to want to keep us in a place where it keeps us comfortable and keeps us in the confinements of the known. So when we're moving to this place of unknown, which it really isn't unknown, because we know our spirituality, we know our soul essence, we've just forgotten. We've had a disconnection happen. So when that happens, it's about having that awareness, having that accountability, and trusting yourself, believing in yourself that this isn't just a feeling. There's a reason why you feel led to listen to this podcast. There's a reason why you feel led to, you know, look at someone's content or to check out their website. It's your soul leading you. You just need to be able to get behind it and follow it and just start trusting. As soon as we start surrendering to that trust aspect and we surrender where we're being guided, life becomes very beautiful because we no longer encounter problems. We encounter choices. Because everything in life is a choice. We have the power of choice. So we have a choice to step in to our spirituality, and spirituality not meaning religion, spirituality meaning our connection to self, our connection to our own spirit, connection to what we believe is our truth. So when we can come into that place of surrendering and of trusting, it becomes a very beautiful dynamic in our life.
Yes, I'm with you there, because obviously I talk all about intuition. So that's my biggest thing. It's like connecting with the self. Yes, that's what we need to do. I like that, and I really like how you put it too, Roxanne. It was really quite succinct. So when you're talking about things like that, so say they're doing, I don't know, their meditation, or they're doing something to try and connect with their self, or they're connecting, and you're saying you've got to trust some of that messages and that come through. How can they How can they work out? So say that they feel like they're a light worker. So to start with, to feel like a light worker, you're going to feel like you want to help in some way, shape or form. You want to help others. You want to help the planet. You want to help animals. You want to help plants. Somewhere along the line, you want to help. So that straight away creates you as a type of light worker. How can they work out what the best tools are? And you know how I refer to tools as in different modalities or different things? How do they find out what's their best tool or tools to use?
You know, I think this really comes to self-exploration and really exploring what works for you, because meditation might work for me, or chanting or journeying or singing or dancing might work for me in terms of connection, but it may be different for someone else. Sometimes it's journaling, sometimes it's artistry, sometimes it's listening to music, a certain frequency, a certain gigahertz. And a lot of the times when we're talking about connection is that people don't understand is that they already are connected, right? The connection is already there. It's the acknowledgement piece that hasn't happened. There's something in the hyperconscious, the subconscious, that hasn't actually connected that this is actually divine source of intelligence or of unconditional love. So when we understand that as a human being, is that any type of connection that, you know, you think that it's just your imagination, if you go into a journey or if you go into a meditative process or you go into a chant where you really feel free and you feel connected and you start to have these creative senses and of imagination, is to understand that your imagination is the reality, right? The imagination in shamanism is your reality. That is your creative senses. That is what is actually happening in this now moment. It's not being forceful from the ego. It's coming directly from, you know, your third eye, through your crown, and it's coming in as beautiful messages. So that can be different for anyone. Some people can't come into a meditative process until they heal so many aspects of themselves because they can't handle the silence. They have, you know, the chatter happening in the intellectual body that they're not able to quiet or to allow it to be still in order to hear anything else. And it's to understand that everything is a practice. Nothing just happens overnight. Like, this is why we have monks that are out in the mountains for countless years connecting, because it takes years. It's a practice. It's not something that it's, you know, instant gratification. You do it once and you should be connected to, you know, the angelic lineages, or you should be connected to whatever divine source of intelligence that you're looking to connect with. It's about understanding that connection is a daily practice. It's a daily self-love practice, and it takes time and it takes, you know, space to be able to step into that and to be able to allow yourself to surrender into it, because that is the hardest part for a lot of clients if they haven't healed certain limited beliefs or through certain wounds, is that they don't think that they're anything beyond what they are in this now moment, which is, you know, a very hard thing to do, to stay connected if you feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. Look, because the way you've said that, Roxanne, I want to actually talk about, you've got a retreat on this year in November, and it's called the Illumination Retreat. Now, give us an understanding of what that is, because is that a space where someone could go and get an understanding of what we just talked about?
Absolutely. This retreat is not like any other retreat, and this is not just my ego. This is other global leaders that are leading this retreat with me, and we are really creating something that is evolutionary through consciousness here on Earth. And what we're looking to achieve and what we're looking to offer is that we are looking at healing and guiding others to heal and to acknowledge and to have awareness throughout the multidimensionality of which they are, right? We are four beings. We are not just, you know, one being or two being. We have our spiritual or energetic essence. We have our intellectual, our mental essence. We have our emotional body. And then we have our physical body. And then we have like our astral body and so much more. But these are the main things that we really function with on a daily basis on this planetary system. And the purpose of this retreat and with the leaders that we have is to understand the mind and brain connection, because most of us are wired in the way of our thinking patterns, the way that, you know, we make decisions on a daily basis, is we are not operating in the right side of our brain. We actually have four brains as a human being, which a lot of people don't understand. And they are all working against one another for the majority of the population. And what we're looking to do is bring this beautiful synchronistic harmony to all of our brains so that they can literally connect in beautiful synergetic alignment so that we can actually affect true healing. So this retreat is absolutely transformational. And what we're doing is not just the intellectual body, but we're going into the emotional body, the heart space, and we're going into the physical body. And then we're moving into more of the spiritual essence, the energetic essence. So it's like 7 days of pure like aha moments and awakening periods for someone to go through. So it's a highly transformative experience. It's not just a retreat to go with, you know, your girlfriends to have like a good weekend. It's literally a life-changing retreat.
And it sounds quite deep, quite involved. What level do you feel that people, you know, to get the most out of this, if somebody's just starting on their spiritual journey, is that too much? Is that just like jumping in the deep end and let's see how we go?
No, and the way that we're going to bring it, we're going to bring it in a way that is going to be, you know, digestible and tangible. So it's all about, doesn't matter where you are in your journey, it's just going to be life transforming regardless of where somebody is in their journey. So the aspect of understanding that, you know, we make our decisions 90% of the time throughout the day, how many thoughts go through our mind. And a lot of those thoughts are led through, you know, and are driven by, you know, fear, scarcity, and lack. And we're really letting ourselves, you know, stay in this emotionality, stay in this wounding. So it doesn't matter where somebody is to understand that you are not just a physical being. And this is proven in science, it's proven in religious structures, is that we are energetic beings. We do have a soul essence. It has been proven. And it's about going to all of these layers, these different layers, so that we can truly affect change and not just, you know, give coping mechanisms or coping tools, but actually affect true change at the cellular complex, at the cellular level, in conjunction, in collaboration with every layer of our being.
Wow. Okay. So again, it's available for everybody. And you can find that on the illuminationretreat.com. You'll find that on the website there and look for Roxanne there. But Roxanne, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for that. It's lovely to get the understanding from somebody else too. You know, like I know what I've experienced and what I have learned and listened to and gathered that information. It's really lovely to get that information from other people because it's meant you're open, and that's how I feel. I'm open to have other people's understandings through it. And then as the listeners hopefully are getting, they're getting their understanding of it, and then they can take that on board to where they need to go. But any last quick words you've got to share with us before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, one, thank you so much, Susan, for having me. It truly has been an honor. And for the listeners that are tuning in, is you just really need to believe in yourself. You're already being guided. You just need to trust where you're being guided because you have something to offer that nobody else does. And it's time to really recognize that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing, isn't it, is that we are all different, and that's what we can honour. We can honour the experiences we've had. We can honour the areas that we've come through to get to where we are. Thank you so much for being on the show. Now, don't go away because I need to talk to you before we finish. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Sounds great. Thank you, Susan.
No worries. So, guys, jump onto the website too and have a look at that, illuminationretreat.com, and see if that's for you, because that sounds really, especially 7 days. When you have some of these shorter retreats, it takes you a bit longer to get in. But when you've got a longer retreat, like a 7-day retreat, it allows you that time to get yourself into the right space and then move from there. So it's really worthwhile doing it, you know, and having a look at that. So jump on and have a look at that, theilluminationretreat.com. But that's it for today. Share, subscribe, like the podcast, and get it out there. And if you're a light worker, connect with us, because no, the more light workers we have, the more we bring light to the planet. The more we bring light to the dark as well. And yes, we do need the light and the dark. But sometimes the dark can get a little bit, a little bit there. But I'm Susan Jane. Thanks for being on the show. And I will say bye for now. See you next week. Bye.